Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you so much once again for taking time out of your very busy life to join me today on my radio program. Tis the busy, busy season. A lot of us are busy with last-minute shopping, and a lot of us are dealing with the influx of lots of flu and viruses going around. And so it makes for a busy, busy and really challenging time in our lives. The Christmas season, the busiest shopping season of the year. And as you're out and about, you look around and see the beauty of Christmas in many ways. You see it in the lights on residential houses, the lights in your neighborhood, the lights at businesses, strands of lights, multicolored lights. In the middle of all the chaos, it can be a beautiful sight to behold when you see the beauty of the Christmas season in front of you. But today on The Cross in the Desert, I want to talk about another type of beauty when speaking of lights. And I want to talk about the beauty of who God is. The Bible says in 1 John 1:5 that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And I want to talk about what that light means. What it says in Isaiah when it says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. What does this light mean for us? To a world that is overwhelmed with brokenness, despair, sorrow, violence, what does it mean when it says God is light? How is it that the light of Christ, the light of God shining in the darkness, brings hope and healing to a broken people? I want us to hear the words of Jesus in John chapter 8 this morning. Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I want to unpack this meaning this morning, and I want to say before I start this teaching that in your hopelessness and despair, and in your uncertainty, Jesus says, if you follow after me as the light of the world, you will not ever walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life. That is beautiful words of hope for you this morning. We see this concept of light in the opening verses of John's gospel. Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were created by him. And then it says in verses 4 through 5 in John's gospel, the first chapter, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. We see that it says that in him was life. In our darkness and death that surrounds us, in Christ was life, and that light was the light of all mankind. It says the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. What that really means is that Jesus came to bring the light of God's life into a spiritually dark and dying world. You go from John's gospel way back to the opening chapter verses of Genesis, and we see that the creation of light itself was God's first creative move in those opening verses. In the process of generating life, light was God's initial instrument for illuminating the darkness and formless void. It was the inaugural insistence of God shining light in the darkness. I am quoting from a very fine resource this morning, Got Questions, that answers the questions about God and light. And I want to give credit to them for a well-constructed essay. So we see in the opening verses of Genesis that in order to bring life to the darkless form and void, God spoke, and it was so. Light illuminated the darkness and brought life out of chaos and formless void. And we go forward into the opening verses of John's gospel when Jesus is being spoken of here. John is talking about the great incarnation, God taking on human flesh in the person of Jesus. John, when he speaks of in him was life and life was the light of men, he is echoing back to this creation narrative in Genesis chapter 1. Scripture tells us over and over again that God is the source of life. For you are the fountain of life, the light by which we see, Psalm 36:9. Acts 17, verse 28, along with Psalm 27:1. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. Jesus Christ is God's light sent down to earth to pierce through the darkness. That light is God's life, both physical and eternal. We see how this life and light work together. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. John 11:25. The life within Christ is the life of God. And in this life of God, the Bible tells us that the life of Christ serves as a light to all people. That life is the light of truth, the message of Christ's salvation and eternal life with God. God has given us eternal life, John writes, 1 John 5:11, and this life is in his Son. So this is a metaphor, but it's showing the greatness of this life, the beauty of this light, the life-transformingness of this life. The brilliance of Christ's life and truth shine like a light into the darkness of this world. And I love this theme of light because we so much of the time talk about the evil and the darkness in the world. And then we see this brilliant Shekinah glory of light hovering over the darkness and shattering it. In the New Testament, light and darkness are common symbols of good and evil. And it is clear that light in John 1:5, that is 1 John 1:5, represents life and ultimately life with God in his heavenly kingdom. Darkness is the absence of light, the lack of God. It represents the power of evil, sin, unbelief in the world all around us, which leads to eternal death. And as we look again in John's epistle, 1 John, John continues to focus on the theme of light and darkness in his epistle as well in his gospel. John 8:12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life." 1 John 1:5 says, "The darkness has not overcome the light," because evil ultimately can never overpower Jesus Christ, who states, "I have come into this world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in the darkness," John 12, verse 46. Now, conversely, while Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," there is a responsibility for us who are followers of Jesus to carry this light into the darkness of our world. Jesus says that those who believe in this light, in him, become sons and daughters of the light. "Put your trust in the light while there is still time," Jesus says, "then you will become children of light." John 12, verse 36. The Apostle Paul, speaking to Christians, says Christians have passed from darkness into light. Ephesians 5, 8. "For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of the light." And through loving one another, believers shine light into the darkness. This is very clear in 1 John chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. John is talking about truth and light. He says, "Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them." So the test of being in the light, according to John, is walking in love and how we treat each other. The true nature of light is to shine forth the good works, the goodness that Jesus has deposited in us in the form of the good news of the gospel, the truth of the gospel, and the love that he has put in our hearts. And darkness cannot exist in the presence of this light. Just as a bright street lamp discourages criminal mischief at night, the light of Christ in the same way dispels the darkness of sin in the world. You know, when you lift up the shades, right? And light comes into a darkened room, sometimes you see little critters scampering away, wanting to hide because the light is exposing them. Well, that's the same way with evil in the world. When we shine forth the light of Christ, Satan hates to be exposed and wants to seek the darkness to hide in. Isaiah 9:12, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." The life of Jesus, which is the life of God himself, is the light of the world. No power of darkness can defeat or snuff out this light. Jesus is the giver of life. He is the bearer of life. The Son of God continues to shine his light to humankind through the church, the body of Christ. So this is what we're speaking of this morning when we say Jesus as the light of the world. In fact, when you go to the end of the Bible in Revelation chapter 21, verses 22 through 23, it says, and John is describing the holy city, I did not see a temple in the city, he writes, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. You see, the Shekinah glory of God, the Old Testament cloud that followed the children of Israel in the wilderness, is with us today in the person of Christ, who is the light of the world. When you take a candle in the room to dispel the darkness, you know what happens. It illuminates, it exposes everything. Like I've mentioned, physical light is necessary for physical life. This is like plants depend on sunlight and water to grow. In the same way, spiritual light is necessary for spiritual life, because we as believers need the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to live this life. Now, the unbeliever hates the light because light exposes his evil, and he hates anything to do with the light. So that's why when we as Christians take the light of Christ into the world through our good works and proclamation of the gospel, we are hated. We are often misunderstood because those living in the darkness loves the darkness, and they hate to be exposed. We never walk in darkness, Jesus said, when we follow him, the light of the world. We have assurance of salvation. We have assurance of the forgiveness of sins. Now, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, but he says, you are too. Just as he came as the light of the world, he commands us to be lights. He says that in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. We're as the light of the world. The light is evident to others by the good deeds we do in faith and through the power of the Holy Spirit. So being a light of the world means we have a witness in the world, a faithful, God-honoring, trustworthy, sincere, earnest witness to Jesus Christ in the world. And my question is, during this Christmas season, when there are many hurting and broken people all around us, are we so busy with our own Christmas shopping that we're failing to shine that light of truth to a broken and sin-cursed world? Unbelievers are walking in darkness, and their only hope is for us to let the light of Christ shine to them. They need truth. They need hope for their hopelessness. So are we shining the light of Christ in their lives? Are we taking time to spend encouraging them, exhorting them to believe in the reason for the season, which is Jesus? I want us to think about that. I want us to think very seriously that in this time of opportunity, at this most hungry spiritual time of the year, that we go out and let the rivers of living water, the light of Christ, flow out of us to a hurting and broken people that need to hear the truth. I want you to think about that as we listen to this powerful song by second chapter of Acts, He's the Light. powerful worship music from second chapter of Acts. He's the light. We are the light of the world. And at a time of year when many of us as human rights activists are watching what's happening in Iran with the execution of those that are peaceful protesters, when we read the stories of young women who are kidnapped, tortured, and raped, we think of the deep darkness in Iran. What does the Bible say that we do when we witness and we read about this deep darkness? We are to shine like bright lights in the darkness of Iran. We are to speak up and to make our voices known that this is unacceptable and that we speak out, we pray, we sign petitions. The Islamic Republic of Iran has been ejected, has been removed from the United Nations, thankfully, by an overwhelming vote. This is the first step in saying that what they are doing to the people of Iran, even the United Nations are saying, you can no longer be on the Committee for Women's Rights because you are killing them. You're killing your own people. As we think, though, of the darkness in Iran, I have a story I want to read to you, and I want you to think about this girl this Christmas. I want you to be a voice for her. Her name is Sonia Sharifi. Sonia Sharifi. She was arrested and imprisoned back in October. That's a long time ago. She was charged with waging war against God. That is punishable by death. We need to be Sonia's voice. She's only 16 years old. And when the Islamic Republic targets these young children, in lots of cases, in most cases, the family never hears from them again. And they are raped and tortured. So here's what we do as lights of the world. We say this is unacceptable, and we cry out to Jesus on the behalf of Sonia Sharifi this morning. We say, Lord God, release this woman from this torture. Free her from this prison cell. Return her to her family. As lights in the world of darkness, we become her voice. We become the rallying cry storming the gates of heaven, and we say, Lord God, intervene in Sonia's life, return her safely to her family. This is what we do as lights of the world in a world full of suffering, darkness, and evil. But let me ask you this question this morning. Do you know Jesus? Do you have the light of Christ in your heart and in your soul this Christmas? This is what Christmas is all about. It's the one time of year where there is a spiritual vacuum with the opportunity of the church to reach out in that vacuum and share the light and the love of Christ to hurting and broken people. Darkness swallows so many people alive, but you don't have to live in darkness. You don't have to live in despair. Jesus has come. He is the light of the world, and he promises you, if you come and follow me, if you come and invite me into your heart and life, you will no longer live in darkness, but you will have the light of life. The despair, the sin will be shattered by the light and the life of Jesus. And so what I want to ask you to do today is, if you've never invited Jesus, the light of the world, into your heart, this Christmas can be the most life-transforming time of the year for you. You can walk out of the darkness of sin, of trauma, of hurt and pain, and find cleansing and wholeness and healing in Jesus. And that's what I hope you find this Christmas, Jesus, the light of the world. I'm wishing everyone a wonderful weekend. God bless you. I will see you again on Monday on the cross in the desert. God bless you.